Welcome back, everybody. This is Eric and Chad here with Iraq Veteran 8888. Today, we got another gun gripe episode for you, and a lot of folks have been asking us to talk about Measure 114 out of Oregon. As you guys know, this is a very severe ballot measure that passed by an extremely narrow window, and I put out a poll on Twitter and was asking people, what they wanted us to discuss in gun gripes, and this subject came up, so we thought that we would kind of dive into this and discuss it and explain just how crazy this particular, ballot measure really is. And we're going to get into this, and I think you're going to be sickened by it for sure. Before we get started, I would like to thank our friends at Arkin Optics for supporting our videos. If you guys are looking for an awesome, ruggedized, long-range, precision-type optic, they are wonderful. We've done a lot of torture testing on them. The warranty on them is fantastic. They've passed a variety of different tests, tall target tests, box tests, and all that sort of thing. And for what these optics cost, they hold up extremely great. The guys that designed these reticles and have put together these particular optics all have military experience. They all have sniping experience. Lots of military members and veterans are employed by this company. So check them out. Arkin Optics, really great group of folks. And big thanks to them for supporting our videos. And tell them we sent you over there. Go check them out. Some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, like we've talked about in previous videos, how important it is to be involved as much as you can on things that are going on at the state level. And this is one of those really crazy examples of how just how narrowly tyranny can slip through.
Absolutely. Like I was telling Eric about this, like I didn't even hear about this ballot measure until after it was done. And there's a reason for that. You look at how much money was raised in opposition to this bill versus how much was raised in support of it. It's like $76,000 raised in opposition to this ballot measure. Over $2 million was raised for it. So someone got their base energized to get this thing on the docket and get it through. And it sucks. Like I had no idea about it.
Well, I mean, let's talk about what exactly it is. I've just got the basic information here pulled up. This comes in. All right. Oregon Measure 114. It sets new rules for the purchases of firearms. It passed yes at 50.7% and versus no at 49.3%. So at 50.7%, it ended up being 965,062 votes to 939,325 nays.
Like 26,000 votes.
26,000 votes was the margin that this passed. So 26,000 people basically determined the following. It requires a permit from law enforcement for people to purchase firearms. Applicants would need to complete safety training and pass a criminal background check. The measure also prohibits magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition. That's the really basic penny tour version of what 114 means. Now, we do have another article here from Oregon Live pulled up, and I know Chad has some information pulled up that gives us a little bit more background on this. Want to read a bit? Or?
Yeah, sure. So, measure is a so-called permit to purchase gun law. Under Measure 114, anyone who wants to buy a gun would have to obtain a permit, pay an anticipated fee of $65, complete an approved firearms safety course at their own expense, submit a photo ID, be fingerprinted, and pass a criminal background check. Basically, aside from, you know, the course, you're basically having to do the same kind of stuff that you have to do to obtain an NFA firearm.
The background check would be more restrictive than one the state police currently conducts for gun buyers. An applicant could be denied a permit, for example, if the person is reasonably likely to be a danger to themselves or others as a result of their mental or psychological state or past pattern of behavior involving violence or threats of violence. State police now restrict a gun buyer if the person was found guilty by reason of insanity in a criminal case, incompetent to stand trial, and committed to a mental health institution. So again, like, what are the standards by which these decisions are going to be made? Okay, you're going to pay $65. You have to take all these training courses at your own expense, and then for the government to turn around and go, well, we looked at your social media and we don't agree with your politics. Like, we know that that's what this is going to turn into. That they're going to say, well, we don't agree with your politics. We see that you supported one political candidate over the other and we don't agree with that. Or, oh, well, The media says that people like you are violent, that you're extremist. Oh, the FBI says that you're a military right-wing extremist weirdo, whatever. Doesn't matter what you said. It's just the look of that. So now we're not going to give you a permit to buy a gun based on that information, just because we think that you might pose a threat. Not that there's any actual, like, you know, substantive, you know, evidence.
Yeah. We've talked about ballot measures in the past and how dangerous these things are because, I mean, as I mentioned, look at the amount of money that was raised to get this thing passed. You know, over $2 million versus $76,000. As gun owners, all of us should be ashamed at that. And I feel ashamed that I didn't even know about this. But, you know, my life is crazy busy, you know, and I don't have time to sit around and see what's going on in every other state across the country. I wish I could, and I read as much as I can, but I had no idea about this. And I wonder how many Oregonians didn't have any clue about this either, because $76,000 doesn't go very far in getting word out about something along these lines. That pays for very little advertising on radio, television. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket, you know, but I think, too, like, I read some articles about this bill, and I think gun owners are our own worst enemy in a lot of cases. Like, here's one guy. This has been floating around social media, and this is ridiculous. All right. All right. Michael Fuller. All right. This is on an Oregon press website or whatever, but it says, Michael Fuller, a Portland civil rights lawyer, had a different reason for voting yes on 114. My preferred concealed carry weapon does not have more than 10 rounds in its magazine anyway, he wrote in a direct message on Twitter. So I figured that passing 114 would make it less likely that I would be outgunned if I were in a gunfight with an active shooter. So, I mean, the idiocy of that comment is almost palpable. You can taste it, how dumb it is. Like, how many active shooter scenarios do you ever see where the perpetrator is using a magazine that is within the law, you know?
Or a firearm that's, yeah, you know, whatever.
They don't. I mean, the shootings that occurred in California in the past few years, you know, they went across state lines, bought the guns, bought the magazines, brought them back over state lines, broke numerous laws. Do you think that they give a damn about 114 and like, oh, well, you know, I can only use a 10-round mag, so, well, I got less chance of being outgunned if I'm ever in that situation. That is some FUD nonsense.
That is some straight-up fuddery right there. Dude. I mean, that is fuddery of the highest order. That's so, level 42 fuddery.
So let's just say that it appears that gun owners in Oregon helped get 114 passed.
It would certainly have that appearance.
But I still feel like, I feel like an idiot for not even knowing about this, but I'm telling you, man, like, these people who want our gun rights, they are out to get them, and they will get them however they can. And if you don't pay attention to what the hell is going on, it's coming to a state near you.
It most certainly is. The measure also bans the manufacture, purchase, sale, possession, or transfer of ammunition magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds. Excluding law enforcement, the military, of course. A violation would be a Class A misdemeanor. Licensed dealers who already own larger capacity, and I said larger capacity, I love it, magazines, have 180 days from the day the measure takes effect to sell them to an out-of-state gun dealer or other person out-of-state or to destroy them. Yeah, just destroy your magazines. We don't like them. After the 180 days, gun dealers can sell or transfer only newly manufactured high-capacity magazines marked with a special stamp, denoting that they're for military or law enforcement use, two exceptions under the law. People who already own the magazines can keep them in a private home or on private property, use them at a shooting range or in a shooting competition, or for recreational purposes such as hunting, as allowed by state law. Hmm. So, basically...
So, we're going back to, you know, the crime bill in 94, where magazines had to be marked for law enforcement military use only.
It's too early to tell if the new law will survive constitutional scrutiny in the wake of the major U.S. Supreme Court ruling in late June overturning a New York gun safety law, said Adam Winkler, a constitutional law professor at UCLA School of Law. One court challenge already has been filed in Oregon seeking to keep provisions of the measure from going into effect. So this is still sort of ongoing a little bit. The U.S. Supreme Court weeks later also vacated a decision in a San Diego case that was upheld a California nearly identical ban to Oregon's on magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. The high court sent the case back to the lower court to reconsider in light of its decision in the New York case. The matter is now back before a federal district court in San Diego. So again, Bruin again changes things in a very extreme way. Okay, a ballot measure passes at the state level. It still has to pass constitutional scrutiny.
It does.
It still has to pass muster, but it should never go that far. 26,000 people, you know, determine that almost a million people in their state weren't good enough to have a magazine over 10 rounds. And that's a scary thing to think that people like that gun owner that you mentioned who it made the futtery comments about 10 round magazines. It's so asinine to me. The level of futtery that people will go through when it comes to this kind of stuff.
I know.
Like, you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. Like, have people not learned this stuff yet? That you can't give them the keys to Pandora's box?
I know.
You just can't.
So these ballot measures, you know, they get voted on initially to wind up on the general election ballot, right? So there's like a primary process for these initiatives. And If the word's not out there, you know, and educating people on what these measures actually do, then they'll just go and blindly just vote right down the line and be like, well, I don't know what that is. Yeah, that sounds good. Or no, that doesn't sound too good to me. They don't even know. And they just vote on it blindly. And that's how they get on the ballot. And then when people go to the polls, they may still not even know about it. And they just vote like, oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good, requiring a permit. Yeah, you know, crime is high, you know, so let's just require a permit for gun owners, you know, to have to get these things and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, it might make the schools safer. And I mean,
or it's just a blanket anti-gun stigma that people have, and they're not going to give any type of pro-gun idea the single first bit of thought as being legitimate. They're just going to automatically see something related to guns and associate it with negativity, because the media constantly parrots this negativity. You know, they parrot that, you know, gun owners are bad people and that they're not made up of diverse people or a wide enough range of people. Like, they just, they flat out lie about the real type of character that you're dealing with when you're dealing with gun owners. I mean, most gun owners that I know, the overwhelming majority of gun owners that I've ever ran into are some of the most humble, honest, awesome people, willing to share knowledge, willing to help people make sure they're safe and to help them out with training and make sure that they're, you know, well versed in the safety and all of that sort of thing. Like, it's such a great group of people. And I don't know how many times I've tried to tell folks that the gun industry, you know, the gun industry and just the 2A community is a really diverse group of people with a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different views. We come from a lot of different places and walks of life. But at the end of the day, we all essentially want the same basic thing, right? We want to be able to protect ourselves, protect our families, protect our communities, and ultimately have the teeth to protect what we say, what we do, and to not have to be subject to anybody. I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. It's just to keep everyone honest. And I don't understand how the Second Amendment world, or let's just say the gun rights world, has gotten turned so far upside down in so many different circles. It's like, why is it something that requires, you know, people to get at each other's throats about it when it's really like the one distinctive thing about our rights that could not be more cut and dry and straight to the point in terms of the way it's worded in our Constitution? I mean, it says what it means. It says exactly what it means. There's no conjecture. There's no room for interpretation. I mean, it's one of the most plainly written things that you could ever read in terms of what its intentions are, what it's meant to do, who it applies to. It is a strict list of things that the government cannot do to you, not, you know, some permission given to you. It is a strict requirement for the government to stay away. And why is it that people want to invite more government infringements into their life on a regular basis, no matter what that might be? not just the Second Amendment, but things about freedom of speech. I mean, all of these different things, all of your rights, search and seizure, and all of these things. So why in the world would you invite more government into your life, no matter what it might be? Like, if I'm ever looking at a ballot like this year when I voted, and it had to do with like taxes, like, oh, should we do away with this particular tax for this certain situation, this certain group of people? I always say yes. If it has to do with abolishing a tax, you better believe I'm going to say yes, abolish that tax. Like, I always vote against taxes. I always vote against anything that would give the government a shred of power over a person. That includes taxes. That includes, you know, gun rights or infringements. That includes, you know, the ability to say or not say whatever you want. At the end of the day, if I'm looking at a ballot measure, if that ballot measure gives the government more power, I'm voting against it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how everybody should treat it. Take yourself out of the situation, right? You may not like guns, but do you really want to give the government that one little bit of shred of power, especially when their military and law enforcement gets to have the magazines that you don't get to have?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on, don't be dumb. Don't be freaking dumb. That's a dumb move to do that.
On the topic of, you know, do you really want to see like more of this stuff get passed? All right, here's the same article. All right. This is a hunter from Salem. In response to a liberal pastor who was for this bill. And I think based on the article, he's actually one of the people that originated the measure. All right. So this is the hunter talking. The measure has a lot of flaws, he said. I know there will be some people that don't want to fix this. They just want to kill it. And I respect that. But at the same time, if you have to live with it, you might as well try to fix it if it's possible. Talking about the measure. All right. So like, is that the mentality that we have with like, all right, the potential for an assault weapons ban or something like that to get passed? Let's go back to like the 94 crime bill with, you know, even more draconian regulations in it. It's like, well, we have to live with it, so might as well fix it. You know, is that the mentality of gun owners now?
I'm going to go back to Bush's statements. We don't negotiate with terrorists.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
We don't negotiate with terrorists. I mean, look, here's the thing. Someone who is willing to use the terror of the state, life and death, right? Mm-hmm. Literally the long arm of death to seek out your compliance is not someone that you should negotiate with.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you make a deal with the devil. Guess what? I don't care what the devil says. That deal is always going to be in the devil's favor. And that is what you're doing when you compromise with these people about gun rights. There is no compromise. You cannot see eye to eye with these people on anything. They're always going to make sure that the contract is in their favor. That's just how they do. It's like making a deal with the devil. You're giving in to tyranny. You're giving in to tyrants. You're giving in to people who want to have weaponized tyranny. They want to have a monopoly on violence. They want to use that violence against you if necessary to seek out your compliance. That is not something that you should support, no matter what it is, especially related to guns, because guns are the very tool that you resist tyranny with. You're going to give up your guns? Come on.
This is incredible to me. This whole deal with 114.
Like, 26,000 votes. 26,000 people.
So, this article is interesting. I implore you guys to read it, but there's a few little things in there from some of the supporters of the measure talking about like, well, you know, when you craft a ballot measure, like it's all about crafting it and wording it properly so you get more people to vote for it who may not know exactly what it's about. You know, if you word it too harshly, then you may not get the support that you want. Or like, you want to word it in such a way that, you know, you don't get like 65% of the vote, because then you like, well, hell, I could have gotten more. You know, we could have gotten more because there's a lot more people that support it. You don't really know, you know.
Well, it's like the way they name legislation that's anti-gun legislation at the federal level.
Bipartisan Safer Communities Act.
Yeah, Safer Communities. Know? Oh, who doesn't want Safer Communities?
Yeah, Kid Safety Act, you know, 2022, whatever the hell the newest, latest, greatest thing is. But, man, like, ballot measures suck because it's literally mob rule at that point. It's pure democracy. Like, hey, you know, 50.1% of the populace who voted gets to control the other 49.9%. You know,
it's
and
cruel.
That is some bull crap.
It's cruel.
You know, but gun sales are crazy in Oregon right now. Magazine sales are crazy. Our buddy Max over at PNPew, right? Or Pacific Northwest Pew, right? He's got a thing going on right now, like to raise some money to fight this thing. And
check it out.
You know, it's going to wind up in the courts, you know, just like these draconian laws in California have. I mean, all this stuff is going to wind up in the courts, and Bruin has set the new standard, and there's going to have to be some accountability somewhere, you know, for it.
I hope some heads roll over it, and I hope we can look back and go, bye, Felicia, when it comes to a lot of these gun laws. But the best thing to do is to make sure they don't become any sort of law to begin with. But if they do, you know, let's hope that they have to pass the Bruin smell test. And right now, it's not looking good for a lot of these anti-gun laws that have been long-standing and long-held that, you know, just because something's been unconstitutional for a long time and society's just accepted it doesn't mean that it should continue to be. Mm-hmm. And that's where this whole thing with New York is going, right? I don't want to get on this particular tangent because I want this to be about Oregon. But in the New York situation that brought us to Bruin, essentially, you know, they were like, oh, well, it is a longstanding tradition. We've had anti-gun laws in the state of New York for 100 some odd years. Well, yeah, but just because you've been living under tyranny 100 years doesn't mean it's okay to keep living under tyranny. It has to pass the smell test of the original intention and the Second Amendment as it was worded and founded and the intention of the founding principles of it at the time of its drafting in 1791.
Mm-hmm.
And to pass that smell test is going to have to offer a pretty strict degree of scrutiny. So we're going to see how this goes. I mean, it keeps getting shot down to lower courts, but if the lower courts don't see eye to eye, I mean, Supreme Court's going to have to, you know, they're going to have to get in there and play hardball with these folks and get them to understand, look, we're not having it, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all goes. So, you know, all right, is Measure 114 in effect yet? No, it's not. That's why you see all the folks in Oregon are buying guns like crazy. They're buying magazines like crazy. And, you know, sales are up crazy, like 1,000% or whatever. Fine. Buy all you can. Absolutely. But know that this isn't out of the water yet. They are going to fight it. It still has to pass the Bruin smell test. And who knows where that'll go. And, you know, maybe we'll wind up getting a good court precedent set with this, as well as the magazine ban that's being still kind of fought in California in that district court. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, maybe it'll actually go our way.
Maybe. I hope so. But apparently there's some court filings already in process to fight this. And I'm not sure if they'll process in time to get like a stay on the implementation of this new rule or whatever. But it's supposed to go into effect like on the 7th or 8th of December.
Oof.
Like, I mean, right around the corner, which Man. Is crazy.
Well, guys, wanted to make this video. I know it's harsh. I know it sucks. But at the end of the day, guys, hang in there. All right. Maybe this thing will sort out in the courts. Maybe y'all can fight it. I wanted to make a video raising awareness to this. I did not know about Measure 114. I heard about it kind of through the grapevine after this already passed. And that's a terrible thing. I know there's probably might have been a few channels that talked about Measure 114, but to be honest with you, this was news to me. And that's terrible. It really is. I mean, and that it passed on such a slim margin. It'd be one thing if it was like 90%, yay, and only 10%, but it had a lot of people that were against it, a lot of folks in Oregon, but it passed on such a slim margin. That's just terrible. I mean, I really hate to see this kind of stuff. We wanted to make this video because people have been asking us to kind of talk about what Measure 114 means. And, you know, it sucks. It's some of the most draconian and strict gun control in the country right now are bans such as the ones in California and now Oregon. So, again, we've said in the past, you know, be really in tune with what's going on with your state, because this kind of stuff can get swept under the rug before you know it. It becomes a ballot measure. And now you've got mob rule determining, you know, what you can and can't have in terms of your firearms. And that's a terrible thing. When the Second Amendment in 1791 didn't say nothing about capacity or barrel length or rate of fire or any of those things. In 1791, people had privateer warships with cannons, right? People had volley guns People had the same weapons that were in the military's arsenals in 1791. So we're going by this standard. So what's to say that a citizen of Oregon is not good enough to have a magazine over 10 rounds, yet the police and military can have a 30-round magazine, that they're exempt? Well, if we're going off of the Bruin standard and we're going off the smell test of 1791, civilians have the same firearms and firepower as the military, including warships. So take that to the bank.
I'll take one of those. Thank you very much.
Yep. I'll take five. Mm-hmm. Sign me up, Skippy. Thanks for watching. I hope everybody had a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's video. Go over to Ballistic Inc. and pick yourself up a snazzy new t-shirt. That's one way that you can support our efforts directly if you wish to do so. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. We'll see you soon.